you say? He's cut off as suddenly Yura begins coughing. Aoi puts his hands on the other's back, patting it gently. Man, when are these coughing fits gonna go away? He looks up at Aoi, a longing glint shining in his eyes. If only you were a girl. Huh? Yura pushes off his knees and lifts himself back up, his face turning away from the other boy. Nothing. That's my little excerpt.
Wow. That was amazing. And we're going to ask you some questions right after I say you're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR, Washington, WKYW, LP, Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams, radio.org, and internet radio stations and streaming services everywhere, including our own slbradio.org/radio. Sammy, take it away.
I loved it. I feel like that's not the most, like, the first...
Sorry about that.
The first professional response, but I was just so excited. The idea is so cool. When you were explaining the whole idea of it, I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And I also tend to not be super aware of these ideas in these fictional worlds. Like, I know even before, like, I've been introduced to a lot, even from, like, C. She'll explain things to me about, like, anime, and I'm like, what? But... It's just so captivating, and then I literally felt like I was watching a Netflix show when you were explaining it. I know it was only two scenes, but I felt like I was on my bed, turning on a show, and it was just so captivating. It was so entertaining with two scenes. Have you written, like, these things before, or is this your first time?
I have written quite a few plays before. I originally started with, like, poetry and, like, what most consider, like, normal writing. I was like, this is fun, but I like writing dialogue, and I like... doing theater, and then I was like, wait a minute, I can write plays, I can write screenplays, and then I started that, and I was like, this is addicting, I'm gonna just keep doing this, and then, like, I'll just be, like, writing a bunch, and I feel like these ideas, I'll be, like, scrolling, I'm like, oh my gosh, wait, I could so write something with that, and then I'm like, I need to turn this idea into something that I could see, like, I like seeing my writing, which might be why I was really happy when you said it was, like, seeing a Netflix thing, so I'm like, that's what I want people to be able to see what I see when I write.
Yeah, and I like how you mentioned how there's always kind of sometimes a stigma of what's normal writing and how you're expanding that and showing people that you don't just have to write a poem. If you want to write a screenplay, you can write a screenplay. And I think that's really powerful. And you writing that is going to inspire so many people to write things that they can visualize too. So I loved it so much.
Thank you. I also find that, back to like the fan fiction idea, you see a lot of fan fictions, but you never see any like scripts that are like feeling of fan fiction or like based off of fan fiction, which is why I was like, what if I combine how I started originally writing when I was in like middle school with where I've progressed till now? So I was like, what if I combine my old, what I wanted to write with how I write now? And it kind of like formed into something that I'm really proud of. And I'm like, maybe people will understand that they can like the cringy things that they liked in middle school and like progress with it.
It's so cool. I think that's such a cool idea to bring.
Thank
and
you.
Like, it's just inspiring to let people know, like, do what you love and, like, combine things and, like, create new kind of, like, even types of writing, I think. It's just so cool.
Thanks.
Ainsley, do you have anything you'd like to ask or comment on?
Yeah, I mean, it's so cool. I loved it. It was so good. I love that you just enjoy, like, writing plays and stuff. Would you ever want to write a play that's actually performed in the future? Is that something you're interested in?
I would love to. My... thing is that I write more for, like, the screen, in my opinion. I have a few that are meant for stage, and I'm like, if I could see this on a stage, that'd be wonderful. But then I write for a screen, and I'm like, I see it more because I'm less confined to making it fit a stage, because I feel like I can do whatever I want if I'm writing for something that's not, like, to be performed live. Like, if I can have whatever I can want to happen, I'm like, I could do that, and I could see the close-ups, I can see the faraway shots, I can see all of that through it. But, like, seeing my work done would be like a dream.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
Such a great question. I'm going to take advantage of the fact that C is here and is a trained reporter as part of our team. C, do you have any questions to ask of Tika?
Yeah, I really loved it. I think kind of what Sam was saying is I was taken away to another world. And do you have any projects kind of coming up that you've written and maybe are now filming?
Yes, I do. So recently, actually, I wrote a short screenplay for a class I was in. I can explain a little bit of the details if you're interested.
Go ahead.
So I'm in a class that was for like acting in film because I want to become a film actor. And our final project was to make a short film, like 5 to 10 minutes, completely by ourselves, write it, direct it, and all that. So I wrote a script that is called Empreg Empath, which sounds hilarious, but it's this very, I don't know if it's controversial, but it's in a world where abortion has been completely banned by like a dictator type leader. And in the process, a poor girl is like forced to bear a child she doesn't want to bear. So like just out of rage and out of like grief, she curses the man who banned abortion to bear her child. And he becomes pregnant with her child and can no longer have an abortion due to the fact that he banned it. So it's like a short little like, what would happen if men could get pregnant too? Would these abortion problems still be like a big issue? And like being able to work on that and see what my writing would actually look like was like wonderful.
And are you, you're doing this at Penn Trafford?
No.
Or
So I also take college release classes at Seton Hill.
I was wondering. Yeah, because that it's great that you have those opportunities too. In a world, I can hear it right now, where it's coming. I wanted to bring C back in, and we're going to go to Layla in a minute, just to ask each of you if you have anybody you would like to acknowledge or anything else you'd like to mention associated with the work that you shared. And C, I'll have you start. I just wanted, I didn't get a chance to ask you that after.
Just any shout outs?
Oh, yeah, any shout outs are fine. And then anything specifically related to the work, either is fine.
I don't know. I feel like I'm always creating stuff. So I feel like this was just kind of a little bit of a dialogue in the stuff I've created. I make a lot of stories with kind of characters that we often don't see. And so I'm just going to be continuing to do that. Yeah.
Great. Any shout outs or people you'd like to acknowledge, Tika, that are helping you ply the craft and learn?
I mean, can I just say some names, I guess?
Of course.
Well, I'd like to thank my teacher, Miss Mattis, from middle school, who originally got me into writing, and also my teacher, Miss Wilkich, who helped me continue writing throughout high school and taught me what Scholastic was and gave me the opportunity to be here.
Excellent. Thank you,
thank you
for doing that. Let's now turn to Layla. Thank you for, it's hard when you go last, but it's certainly not least. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Come a little closer.
Okay. So when she was talking about moving on from cringy middle school interests, let's move on to the cringy middle schooler.
You're not cringy.
But yeah, anyways, so I am currently...
You're at Dorseyville, right?
Yeah, I am.
What kind of things do you like to do?
Well, I mean, I'm into a lot of different, like, types of art. Like, I like drawing, more like getting into writing, and I do, like, some little sculptures with polymer clay occasionally. And, I mean, really, really anything with, like, creative stuff. I have a whole bunch of, like, characters that are sort of just, like, chilling in my head. I forget it. I mean...
That's excellent, though.
Yeah.
It sounds like creative work is just a great outlet.
There's at least like 36 of them just like chilling up there.
What work did you bring to share?
Oh, yeah, of course. So let me pull
and
up
thank
the
you.
PDF.
Yeah, thanks, by the way, for being here. If you're joining us, by the way, as... We get ready. It's Remake Learning Days here at SLB, and we have an open house today. until 2 o'clock. Stop on down and see us. KDD is going to be here. I don't know if our is Gretchen. I know Gretchen and Jim are here somewhere, I think. Or Tim, Gretchen and Tim, KDD's parents, which is really cool, are going to be here today. And what did you bring to share?
So, it was actually written for a school project. We were doing a horror unit in my advanced literacy class, and we were tasked with writing a flash fiction story, which just anything like horror and like under 1,000 words. Mine was 998. And so what I have here is, it's called Seen Not Heard. And so basically, the feel that I was sort of going for is, like the main character girl who is like imagining, cause like if you just like sat her down and like asked and just told her, tell me what happened, she is a ghost who died in the 1910s, and so I'm not sure how much background I really should give on this. It's like there's just so much her, so
I think that's perfect context. I can't wait to hear you bring it to life through the excerpt you're about to share.
All right, I'll just... Okay. I'd started listening in on the others talking forever ago, and they always said more when they thought I wasn't listening. Big, important meetings with big, important people. That's all that seemed to happen around here. None of us had been allowed to go in except Al and Vera. Vera to discuss marriage, and for Al, I never really figured that out. Father said I was too young to be involved in any way, that I wouldn't understand a word even if he let me. But I had, even if it was a bit hard to hear him inside a closet or underneath a table where I usually hid. Sometimes it was good news, most of the time bad. They were more of a circus than the one Father did own. I think he agreed, considering how often he looked near the end of those meetings, like he wanted to break out his whip and ward off the men that way. Of course, it wasn't just him I listened to. Lately, Basil was acting strange. He was always a little weird, and I never liked talking to him, but this was different. He started laughing and mumbling to himself like he was planning on something. No one ever listened to me, though, so I just avoided him a little more than usual. I figured complaining would do no good. As much as I tried to listen to the others, at the time, they hardly ever gave me the same attention. Even Vera seemed on edge, which I didn't even think was possible. Every time she saw me at a place other than my bedroom, her greeting was now, "Why are you here, Marina?" in that hissy tone she had also been using more. I'd always been sort of regarded like that by her and my other siblings, like a pet found somewhere it wasn't supposed to be. But it seemed to get worse. At least Al was still here, for now.
You have a knack for making characters just come to life. Ainsley, do you have any questions or comments? What a great... the conversations, I felt like the people were here.
Yeah, it was so good, and all of the characters felt, like, so real. Like, the voice of the character who's the narrator, it felt like a real person talking and observing the people around them. Was there anything that inspired you to make these characters?
Well, not really them specifically. I mean, I couldn't really tell you any specific inspiration for them. I barely even remember, like, when they were, like, really, like, created. So in case you didn't really pick up, all of the named characters are siblings. From youngest to oldest, it's Marina, Basil, Al, and Vera. And so...
It's kind of the sign of great characters if it's hard for you to even remember their origin stories because they're so natural. Sammy?
Yeah, I really liked it. It made me actually feel really calm, too. Like, I really enjoyed it. It was, like, listening to almost like a bedtime story in like the nicest way. I felt like it also reminded me, I think it was cool because it could be taken different ways. It kind of reminded me of sometimes my sibling Waylon, even like sometimes like the way you described it too, and the way that you conveyed it, you can feel the different emotions and how sometimes you feel like, oh, my siblings don't treat me the best, or and it made me remind me of like sleeping when I was a little bit younger and like my parents telling me a bedtime story to go to bed. And it just like really called me, and I thought that was a really cool aspect to it.
Honestly, I really like that description. I've never really made that connection, but now that I really like that. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. It was so great.
See, anything that you might like to ask or add?
I just want to say I was really brought along with you. I think kind of like what Sammy was saying is that it felt like a classic, almost fairy tale bedtime story, is that I was like hooked from like when you started it, and it felt very calming. And I kind of want to go on what you were talking about at the beginning, and you said you did art and you write. So I was wondering, do you ever kind of find a way to kind of mix your art and your writing together to, or are inspired by one another?
Well, I mean, it's not like I really write that much. Because like the drawing came first. Like, I've only really recently started, like, actually getting these characters' stories, like, written down. Because, I don't know. I just didn't really know where to start, because like I had said earlier, there's just like so many of them, and I have a hard time like sitting down and just like getting stuff done. So
is there anybody you would like to acknowledge or thank for their support?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my friends for letting me just like almost like ambush them with all the like with all the stories and stuff about them, like
just hearing them and giving you ideas,
I don't really write that much, so I just sort of have all of these like ideas for characters just like sitting in my head, and I occasionally just like get to sit down with my friends and like just tell them all about like what happens and who these people are, and that's cool. I really like doing that, and I really am glad that I have friends who will just like be okay with me sort of dumping that all on them.
Well, they're gaining, or it's an exchange. You have something worth giving. You all have something worth giving. Our segment is reached just about towards the end. KDD is coming up next. Does anybody have anything to say that they didn't get a chance to say? Those of you who know me well know that I always suggest you end an interview that way. Everybody good? Well, thank you very much. Our writers, in reverse order, you heard Layla, preceded by Tika, preceded by C. And thank you to Ainsley, Remake Learning Day Youth Ambassador, and Sammy from Youth Express Live and other SLB radio programs. We appreciate your being here with us. It is Remake Learning Day's open house here at the Saturday Light Brigade. We're here until 2:00 today. KDD is coming up. Thank you. listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. Angelina has just joined us. We're going to hear from Scott Cook first.
I'm tired of all this calculating, waiting around so long. Takes a lonesome rambler to sing a lonesome rambling song. Honey, put your good foot in the road. Figure out the details, check your numbers twice. If you want to make a break for it, well, don't take that advice. Honey, put your good foot in the road. Boss man will tell you a card late is a card played. When it's him that's dealing, well, exceptions do get made. Your good foot in the road. I sure like mama's biscuits and her homemade apple jam, but I love the feel of waking up not knowing where I am. Honey, put your good foot in the road. The road goes on forever, the road it never stops. Just easy on your liver, boys, and careful round the cops. Honey, put your good foot in the road. There's plenty of generous people on the right and on the left. You see, we're bound together like the warp is to the weft. Honey, put your good foot in the road. Treat you nice. Got one foot in the open road and one in paradise. Honey, put your good foot in the road. Here to patch your hard luck. People treat you mean. Wouldn't be oases without spaces in between. Honey, put your good foot in the road. Bridges, learn when you fall. If you won't dance ungracefully, then you won't dance at all. Honey, put your good foot in the road.
Hard for the easy buck. I bet you see us all like chickens to pluck. But time's running out on you. Yeah, you think me a sucker for the cut of my clothes. You think you're safe, cause the port on both. I reckon some will, I reckon some won't. But who's running your water and growing your food, cleaning your clutter and up on your roof, patching your tires and cooking your hops? And there's even a few of us who are firemen and cops. So you better be kind to this rabble, cause if you've got my vote or not might be the least of your troubles. Well, my veteran friends, they pitched their tents outside the window of the president. Said, boys, we appreciate your fight,
for your government. But sons, your bonus ain't nothing but a Cinderella stamp. Yeah, you got a lot of nerve trying to rock my boat. You think you're safe, cause the poor don't vote. Well, maybe that's so, but did you consider who's working the farms and churning your butter, hauling the coal and burning in winter, pumping your gas and killing your hogs, catching all your homeless cats and dogs, keeping your cocaine cheap and your tobacco tall, planting in the spring, harvesting in the fall. Yeah, you better be kind to me, brother, cause if you've got my vote or not, might be the least of your troubles. A whistling woman and a crowing hen, gonna drive the devil out of his den. Now there ain't no rain to follow the plow, and that cyclone coming don't bother know how. On the California border, they're waiting for us with chains and pistols and pipes and clubs. While you're keeping score, know there's a million more who are running your water and growing your food, cleaning your clutter and up on your roof, hauling your trash, sewing your clothes, watching your kids and paving your roads. Yeah, you better be kind to this rabble, cause if you've got my vote or not, might be the least of your troubles.
That is Paul Birch. Tune called Poor Don't Vote. And Put Your Good Foot in the Road by Scott Cook before that. And the primary is Tuesday. And I want to acknowledge folks working at the polls. It's Ricky and I started doing that together. I think maybe it's been 8 election cycles we've been through. And what, I don't want to meddle or anything, but an exhausting day, but also a very good day. You meet a lot of people, and generally it's, not even generally, it is a good experience, but thanks to the folks who do it. And you can easily be trained, and I especially encourage you, if you're younger, to consider being a poll worker. Anyway, Tuesday is the Pennsylvania primary election. Now, this is fun. Gretchen and Tim are longtime Saturday Light Brigade listeners, and their daughter, Katie, is here to play now. Katie is, we'll talk about Katie's music after her first song. We'll just get her started. Here is Katie D.
Thank you. I heard you get free food working at the polls too.
You don't, actually. You don't? At least not at, well, you, it is free, but I mean, Ricky's making something.
It's like a potluck.
Yeah, it's more like a potluck. But it's good food.
Wonderful. The song is called Floodline. I wrote it for the Millvale Eco District thing they were doing a couple years ago, and never got to play it there because I got COVID, so I brought it to you this morning.
You all had better run high above that floodline. You all had better run and don't leave no one behind. We'd better rise together or deep down we'll all go sucked into the water. The whole town's a whirlpool. Though you may hate your neighbors, you can't let them suffer. Help those nasty people up to our safe shelter. We better rise together or deep down we'll all go sucked into the water. The whole town's a whirlpool. Gentle, streamy roads, even a sharp rock's edges will kind of come and shelter up in these cliff ledges. We'd better rise together or deep down we'll all go sucked into the water. The whole town's a whirlpool. though we put grudges aside, I know they'll grow back someday. Soon like weeds and cracks once the flood has gone away. For now we'll rise together, or deep down we'll all go. Sucked into the water, the whole town's a whirlpool. Sucked into the water, the whole town's a whirlpool. Sucked into the water, the whole town's a whirlpool.
Katie D, that's a fun song. At the beginning when you said you never had a chance to bring that song to Millville, instead you're bringing it to me, I was concerned that it was COVID that you were bringing.
No, thank goodness. No, I do it often.
But that's a fun song. But I'm going to turn it over to Angelina and see in terms of the questioning, because I'll bet they're curious about some of the same things I am.
Yes, thank you, Larry. I really like this song. I'm curious as to what is the inspiration behind it, if it's giving very much environmentalism and whirlpools and water and floods. And so is that from like a natural disaster that you experienced or something that you were trying to draw awareness to?
Well, when I was little, I used to be like obsessed with the Johnstown flood. And we would go there all the time. And that was that big flood that happened, I believe, 1889, not to be a nerd. But it was like we would go up to see the museum and you could see where the dam was and where it burst. And like, I think thousands of people died and it was a horrible disaster. And it's like just local enough that it was like fun to visit, but far enough away that you didn't feel like it was like happening to you. So also, since it was something for the eco district, they were looking for pieces that were talking about environmentalism and disasters. And I spend a lot of time playing music over in Millville, and it is a neighborhood that is prone to a lot of flooding, unfortunately. Like last time I played the Millville Music Festival, it ended up flooding. The transformer got zapped with the lightning. Like, so there are a lot of things that, like, you know, in real life we experienced even a few weeks ago, these storms, but it was more inspired by the historic storm.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it was really great. I was just swaying along to it the whole time, and I was like, you were like taking us on a journey, and I think it was very interesting hearing kind of the history about it. My question is kind of, what is your process of writing songs from like the first thought to like actually putting it to paper?
Well, I used to use tape recorders a lot because I'm somewhat old, but actually I used tape recorders until like probably like 2012, because then I got an iPad, and then on the iPad...
Hang on now, brought us a cassette.
I did bring you a cassette.
But this... This is a modern, available... Oh, thanks for not shrink-wrapping it.
Yeah, that's so bad for the environment.
From the Sea, KDD, and the Quaking Aspens, and I want you to hear... You know this sound.
Tapes.
That's a cassette. You don't hear them. This is really nicely done.
I got about 20 of them made up in Canada. You can still have cassettes like made up there, because I thought I'd like to have physical media, and like those are what I remember a lot from being a kid. And my parents always would play like classical music or musicals or whatever to us in the car, and I always liked the format. Plus, they're just cool looking, and records are very expensive. And like, I'm definitely not like spending thousands of dollars to like press records, but spend a couple hundred and make tapes. Like, I think they're kind of having a renaissance a bit too, because you can buy like cassette recorders and cassette players at Urban Outfitters and stuff now. So I even saw some of your stickers back there, Larry, have tapes on them.
Yes, they do. Why? Well, I interrupted your answer to C's question. Saying you would record yourself.
Yeah, I would. I would record myself. Talking of, like, I would, if I have like a melody in my head or even just like some little idea, I usually just record myself nowadays on my phone, and that way like I have a bunch of probably like over 30 unnamed files on my phone that are like voice recording such and such, and then I'll go back through and like listen to them later, and if I have other ideas I kind of build on it from there. One of the songs I'll play for you a bit later I actually wrote based off of, there was like a made up song in the book Song for the Wild Built by Becky Chambers, which is like a sci-fi, like kind of like hope punk, solar punk novel about a non-binary monk and a robot that they meet in the forest. And I thought about what the melody might be for this like made up song from the story, and then I made my own song with my own words up like based on that, because my wife said it sounded cool. So it helps to have encouragement too, and I have that from my parents and from my wife. So if I just make something up random, they're always like, oh, record it just in case you want it for later, like, because you know, you write things, you make things, and they can disappear into the ether if you don't jot them down. So I kind of jot them down with a recorder, because that's the easiest way for me to keep track of them. And then from there, usually I'll build the melody first, and then I'll build the words from there. And I think I'm pretty good at rhyming, so that comes in handy.
For what it's worth, I immediately thought of Johnstown when you played that song. I was thinking of Racetown Lake, which was created by flooding the town in that area. I don't know why Kecksburg came out of my brain.
My parents were there and saw where the town, like, I guess now that like the water has evaporated some, like you can see the tops of the buildings and things like that, which is also very creepy and cool, but like also like a disturbing image of the times we live in.
Yes. Let's get to another song.
Excellent.
You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you for doing it. It's Remake Learning Days. Angelina and C are here with us, and Katie D is the person performing, and
excellent.
Only Katie D knows the name of the next song.
It's called The Manatee. This song did not win the WYUP singer-songwriting contest a few years ago when I performed it. But I think it's a fun song. The ship Theo in Kilkey left for Caribbean climes. The souls on board are numbered at 189. They left to bring home sugar cane to keep tea tasting sweet. But all they found were salty graves in the tropical sea. The manatee, she led the sailors out to sea. Instead of finding mermaid brides, all the sailors lost their lives. The manatee, she led the sailors out to sea. Instead of finding mermaid brides, all the sailors lost their lives. The captain said, let's follow her, the curly-haired mermaid. Surely she will lead us to the merfolk's secret cave. The men were all exhausted, so they obeyed these commands, not knowing that they never would set foot on land again. The manatee, she led the sailors out to sea. Instead of finding mermaid brides, all the sailors lost their lives. The manatee, she led the sailors out to sea. Instead of finding mermaid brides, all the sailors lost their lives. All night they stalked the manatee, the winds grew strong and chill. The rough, dark blue Atlantic waves devoured ship and crew. The captain's cabin flooded, he prepared to meet the Lord. As a few surviving sailors clung to splintered bits of board. The manatee, she led the sailors out to sea. Instead of finding mermaid brides, all the sailors lost their lives. The manatee, she led the sailors out to sea. Instead of finding mermaid brides, all the sailors lost their lives. The manatee, she shook the crown of seaweed from her head. The sun rose on the wreckage and all of the men were dead. Just the simple song remains the record that we have of an accidental mermaid and a captain driven mad. The manatee, she led the sailors out to sea. Instead of finding mermaid brides, all the sailors lost their lives. The manatee, she led the sailors out to sea. Instead of finding mermaid brides, all the sailors lost their lives.
Wow, that's a bit of a modern sea shanty. And I'm looking at sea. What do you think of that?
Oh my gosh, I just really liked it. I don't know, there's such a really cool resonance to, like, I don't know, the ocean and water can, like, there's so many stories with that, and I just thought it was so interesting, and I love water, so I thought it was just really great. And I kind of, like, Can you describe like what you meant by some of the lyrics?
So from what I know about the old seafaring times, the age of sail, is they actually originally did mistake mermaids. Like, they thought manatees were mermaids when a lot of the white explorers first saw them, because they'd never encountered them before. And, you know, it's dark, you can't really see what's going on. I think there's also something very, like, haunting but beautiful about the ocean at night. And, like, you know, there's myths of things like St. Elmo's fire, like all kinds of superstitions that sailors have, and, like, tricks the eye can play on you at sea. And I thought all that stuff is really cool. I love the movie Master and Commander. So I love the things about the old times and the ocean. And I like the idea of basically the hubris of the captain being like, we're going to go and do this. Like, the boss is telling you everybody has to do something, but actually, because the boss is wrong, it ends up like being really bad for all of his workers, and kind of like a critique of like how the captain ends up having to go down with the ship because of a mistake that he made, because of something that he wanted to steal, basically, and made other people get on board literally with it. So, yeah, I was kind of trying to tell a story both about like mistaken identity and about like shipwrecks, but also about like the people that were on the boats and what things might have been like for them as well. And I mean, the whole time the manatee has no idea what's going on, because like he or she is not even really involved in the story, just the subject of the chase. So I thought it would be funny to call the song The Manatee, because like while they're kind of like a side character, also they're the ones that, one that ends up getting all the people killed. So
yeah, and it's funny, when you mention mermaids and manatee, the first thing I think about, well, you know, the manatee is not exactly a visually fetching aquatic animal. However, the manatee is kind and intelligent and responsive, much like a dolphin can be. So actually, it is a very alluring creature, which makes me think of how you had mentioned seafarers of long, many years by thought manatees could be mermaids. That's kind of neat to think about.
Also, like the juxtaposition of, yeah, like you said, like they are known to be like really gentle, like kind creatures. And honestly, the biggest like predator for them is people, like,
yeah,
unfortunately, even in the modern day. Not that like we eat them or anything, but just like we have the rivers so polluted and the oceans, they like brackish water, so they'll tend to be at like deltas a lot and like get hit by boats and stuff like that. But like they're known so much for being like these gentle creatures, so it's also kind of funny to make them kind of a villainous creature in the song, so they kind of get a little win there against humans.
KDD is who you're listening to. Angelina?
I am really happy that we got context before I offered up my interpretations, because I was way off. I think it was a really nice song. The imagery was probably my favorite part. The level of detail that you go into, it just flows together really nicely. And it offered me a very clear picture in my head that was not all the way accurate, but still very good. I was getting vibes of, you know, you're talking about the manatee and the mermaids and then the sailors dying, and I was thinking sirens.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, like, the manatee is like the kind of dog-esque, mm-hmm, kind of pet for the sirens, in the same way that like Ursula uses the eels to lure
so
people to her
when the eels died at the end, because Ursula's such a good character. Like, I just love her character so much, and I was always so sad when the eels died.
Yeah, so that's like the vibes I was getting. So I was like, oh my god, I'm like right on it, I'm following along so well.
Yes.
That's not what it was, but it was still great.
Or was it?
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I also saw kind of a, and part of it is like the ocean is this big kind of like feminine force versus kind of the masculinity of the sailors, and kind of how they were trying to go up against this all kind of powerful like ocean, and the manatee kind of luring them. Like, I was thinking sirens too. And then just kind of being like, sometimes they, the men are just trying to grab for more and more power and more from like something that really isn't theirs. And
yeah.
And then they ultimately die, which I thought was very poetic.
I think that's a great analysis. Yeah, like basically a lot of what the people were doing in the Age of Sail was like conquering other people's native countries, or like taking people's crops and exporting them to their, mm-hmm, country. And a lot of it was about what can we get from the land. And then this is kind of like almost like the earth getting its revenge, how you said it. So I think that's really neat. Mm-hmm. I like that interpretation.
KDD is the performer, and C and Angelina are here from our Youth Media Center programs. They are, if they sound so polished, it's because they are, together with a few other students. They host a weekly podcast called YXL, or Youth Express Live. That is Wednesdays. Oh, yes, Wednesdays from 4:30 to 5:30. I actually was home. No, I was in the car and then home. So I got to listen to it all as a regular listener Wednesday, and it sounded wonderful. Sometimes they say don't ask a question that you don't know the answer to, or that you that's for lawyers, though, not for interviewers. I don't know the answer to this. Are you going to keep doing episodes over the summer?
So we our season is going to end in about 2 weeks, and then I know that we were talking about doing a little bit of a break, but definitely looking at when we're going to start up season two. So we do plan on coming back sometime soon when it's convenient for everyone after we get a little bit of separation.
Awesome. And because the program's been great, and I don't want to put a burden on you or our team, but we could rerun some of the episodes over the summer just to keep folks tuning in so they can rehear them. It's been really fun to listen to. Youth Express Live is Wednesdays. You'll find it at our website, slbradio.org. The Youth Express players right on the front page. Wednesdays, 4:30 to 5:30. They have puzzles and riddles, too.
Oh my gosh, you do a whole hour they material. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, I'm curious. I'm going to ask a question, and we probably have time. Be careful. We probably have time for two more songs. Stella, where did you come by the guitar? You've got this wonderful Stella guitar, which is this. A lot of them were made. They can be hard to find these days.
Yeah, actually, my dad found this at an estate sale for a house that had burned down. And he said when he found it, it still smelled like smoke. So my dad got it from a burnt down house a long time ago. And this is the guitar, because it's like smaller, it's the one I learned how to play on when I was like a tween. So like I have other fancier guitars, but like I feel like it kind of works with the aesthetic because it is like that like mid-century, like I'm kind of trying to go for that like creepy Johnny Cash vibe. So I feel like it works with that. So it was probably not a super expensive guitar. It has had to get some repairs because I had it over at the open mic in Millvale and someone knocked it over because they were drunk. And I had to get it like completely fixed, but they did fix it really well. I got it fixed out in Verona Borough, but yeah, it's been with me for like probably since I was 12, so quite a while now.
That's great. What would you like to do next?
Oh my gosh. Well, I have more ocean songs, but I also want to sing Goblin Fruit. So I'll sing you Goblin Fruit next. Something not about water.
Just over the meadow, walk through the raspberries. Take a ring or lock it, 'cause you'll have to pay a fee. And you can't tell your family, or the door will not appear. Remember well this lesson, and you'll have nothing to fear. Those ruby apples aren't what they seem. Just look at Farmer at Capsize Gleam. If you want to meet your maker soon, then eat a piece of the goblin fruit. These impish traveling salesmen with their wonders galore, but please pack your own lunch. Don't buy from the goblin store, and you won't need your wallet. They want dreams or future luck at this farmer's market. Beware or you may get stuck. Those ruby apples aren't what they seem. Just look at Farmer Recap's eyes gleam. If you want to meet your maker soon, then eat a piece of the goblin fruit. Those ruby apples aren't what they seem. Just look at Farmer Recap's eyes gleam. If you want to meet your maker soon, then eat a piece of the goblin fruit.
She can be booked at your next theme party. I like these songs, KDD. And often you perform as a duo, right, KDD?
Yeah, my wife is here, KDD, and the Quaking Aspens. It's kind of like a biology joke, because if you've ever seen a quaking aspen, they look like a lot of different trees, but they're really all from one source tree. They send out a lot of, like, shoots.
Oh, yes.
So they're actually the largest land organism is a stand of quaking aspen trees, and we actually had to visit it a few years ago. Jillian has the shirt on from that trip of when we were out in Colorado for my cousin's wedding. But yeah, it was kind of a joke that I had with my old, well, he was my dungeon master at the time, Microv, and he's actually the originator of the Farmer Redcap character, because that's also from our D&D campaign. But he's a Boy Scout, and he told me this, and he said, well, you mostly play with just you in, like, a rotation of guests, so wouldn't it be funny if there was a band called the Quaking Aspens that was mainly just one person with, like, friends that stopped in, so it seems like a bunch of people when it's really not. And I like that idea so much, I kind of made, like, a whole persona with it, and that's that was about 10 years ago, and here we are today.
Look at that. I want to be sure we get another song in. Do you have any additional questions, Angelina or C?
I don't think I have any questions about that one, but I do really like it. I like the seeing the diversity across your songs now that we've gotten one that was not so centered around water. Though I did enjoy the first two a lot. That one really, I think, just showed your range of both lyrics and just overall vibe and message, but still very enjoyable.
Thank you. Yeah, the whole that's the most recent thing I've actually released, but that whole thing is all songs about the ocean. I was like, set a goal for myself at my old job. Like, if I write 7 songs for the traditional 7 seas about the ocean, then I'll go pay to have them recorded. So they're all like 7 themed songs about the sea. I will play you, this one's tangentially about the ocean. This is one of my newer ones. The one that I mentioned was based on that fake song from that book. This song is called On My Way. Well, they've gone and called my number, and the ship's docked in the bay. To stay till morning, but I gotta leave today. Oh, I am on my way. You know I'm not one to argue, but I just can't leave here with you. Promise that I'll be back soon, and you know by God how I'll miss you. Well, they've gone and called my number, and the ship's docked in the bay. Love to stay till morning, but I gotta leave today. Oh, I am on my way. Well, they're bound to try and find me, for to bring me to the hanging tree. For that's the price they make you pay for not fighting for your country. Well, they've gone and called my number, and the ship's docked in the bay. Love to stay till morning, but I gotta leave today. Oh,
through the forest canopy will guide my flight from this country. When I see that border sign with one regret, I left you behind while they've gone and called my number and the ship's docked in the bay. Oh, I am on my way and I'd love to stay till morning, but I gotta leave today. Oh, I am on my way. Oh, oh, I am on my way.
Katie D, thank you for being with us today and for sharing some really great songs.
If there's a flood upon election day, and you can see your house is washed away, you still must do your duty, come what may. Learn to float or buy a boat, but go and vote. Get out and vote. Get out and vote. A flood is no excuse to lose your vote. If the water's got you down and you think you'll have to drown before you do, wait till you get out and vote.
Get out and vote.
This is a raucous caucus. Now let's have a musical interlude featuring that silver cornet and trombone. We have Jimmy Sheldon and his electoral college band. Is concluded. Let's get back to the music. A wedding on election day is nice. Just say I do and save the shoes and right. And then to strike a patriotic note, put on the shoes, eat the rice, and go and vote. Get out and vote. Get out and vote. A wedding's no excuse to lose your vote. With your honeymoon in view, you've a thirst for pitch and woo, but duty first, forget your thirst, get out and vote. Yes, sir. Oh, Mrs. O'Malley, there's a rally in the valley tonight. And so, with the assistance of Jay Sheldon and his eight little ward healers, we'll end our little sing. Let's add to the flames, Jay. I hear you say your car has broken down and that you're stranded miles away from town. The voting polls too far, I hear you squawk. Stop the talk, if you can walk, get out and vote. Get out and vote.
Get out and vote.
Oh, it rains a lump of glory in your throat. And it doesn't cost a dime voting at election time. So on your feet, off your seat, get out and vote. If you can creep, get out and vote.
Get out and vote.
One and all, if you can call, get out and vote.
Get out and vote.
A little scratchy. But from 1956, Johnny Stanley, will give him credit. And we'll give credit to Angelina C. Ainsley, Sammy, and Waylon for being with us for Remake Learning Days. Thanks also to our youth poets today, C, doing double duty, Tika and Layla, to our teen musicians, Mira and Gabby. Once again, thanks to Katie D, and also Steve Hawkins and Susan Hawkins were here earlier from Vocal Confluence. Ty Trosky books our program. Staff educators at our Youth Media Center include youth poets today, C, doing double duty, Tika and Layla, to our teen musicians, Mira and Gabby. Once again, thanks to Katie D, and also Steve Hawkins and Susan Hawkins were here earlier from Vocal Confluence. Ty Trosky books our program. Staff educators at our Youth Media Center include Joseph Kukla, Alexa Bosek, Grace Anderson, and we welcome Alex Bennett and Megan Valley to our team as of this week. Chad Green is our technical director. Ella Storm, technical associate. Deanna Beringer, director of programs. Robert Gray, director of operations. Ben Rutkowski, also a part of our education team.
You lost that race.
0.3 WRCT Pittsburgh. And Tube City Online Radio in the T-Sport.
Hello, Josephine. How do? Do you remember me, baby? Like I remember you. You used to laugh at me. And all the woo-woo-woo. I used to walk you home. I used to hold your hand. You used to use my umbrella. Every time it rained. You used to cry so much. It was a crying shame. You used to live over yonder by the railroad track. When it rained, you couldn't walk. I used to tote you on my back.
You're tuned to Freeform Radio from Carnegie Mellon University, 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh, and Tube City Online Radio in the T-Sport. Well, good afternoon, sports fans. It is I, your deacon of doo-wop, your soul to swing, your cum laude graduate of the Chet Music Group Workology, Jay Thurber, at 12:03. Much more music time. Here to put the move in your groove, the dance in your pants, the rock and roll in your soul, right up until the 3 o'clock hour. Broadcasting this week from Dayton Hamvention. Yeah, we do this every year in Xenia, Ohio. It is the largest, if not one of the largest, ham radio conventions in the United States and one of the largest in the world. So please, no phone calls this week. Save your calls for another time. Do check in with me on Facebook, Mastodon, and Blue Sky at Jay Thurber Show. Looking for partly sunny skies this afternoon. Maybe a chance of a shower or a thunderstorm. And a high near 76.
I'm flying W-I-N-G. One phone, one phone day.
This is wonderful radio.
Rachel Singers, Lonnie Mack, and Twang, and Eddie Hisman, ring, we're going steady, take it easy, take me high, lie, lie, house of fire, no commotion, poker, passion, deeper purple, satisfaction, baby, baby, got it, give me, getting hot, Sammy's cooking, Leslie Gore, Richie Valens, end of story, my Vista Fuji, I'm a Kamasutra, Rama Lama, Richard Perry, Spectre Barry, Righteous Archers, Nielsen, Harry, Shimmy, Jimmy, Coco Poppin', Fats is back, and finger poppin'.
Life is a rock.
confabulation. Collie Simon, I hold a Rolling Stone, and a folder. Johnny Cash and Johnny Rivers, kissing now. I got the Shivers, Mungo, Jerry, Peter, Paula, Paula, Mary, Mary, Dr. John, the Nightly Tripper, Doris, Day, and Jack the Ripper. Got a ghost who got a sweater, Leah Russell, give me Sheldon, Miracles, and Smokey Blizzard, Sly Guitars, the Fender Bass, and Mushroom Mama, and Bonnie Brown, the Wills, and Pickett, Stop, and Kick It.
Life is a rock, but the radio. Denver, John and Osmond, Donnie, J.J. Kill, ZZ Top, and LLB, then D.D. Donna, David Bowie, Steely Dan, and Sing Me Proud, C.C. Ryder, Edgar Winter, Junior Summers, Isaac Marks, Connie Thunder, Eric Clapton, Peter Wallace, Steve LaFosta, Doodah, Doodah, Good Vibrations, L.B. Ron, The Surfing Girl, and Little Honda, Tida, Tida, Honey, Honey, Sugar, Sugar, Yummy, Yummy, CBS, and Warner Brothers, RCA, and all the others.